Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
At some point you've got indigestion, at some point you haven't. A cup of tea and a mince pie, settling that down tremendously.
It's not a mince pie.
I mean, it's definitely a mince pie.
It's not a mince pie.
Why is it not a mince pie?
Because it doesn't have pastry above it.
Why does that make it? It's got a lid.
Well, is it a fucking, is a sandwich a fucking sandwich if it doesn't have two pieces of bread?
Yes.
No.
If you had...
Well, you're not sandwiching anything, are you?
Well, no, but it's got something. Yeah, you are. Well, yeah, yeah. That, it's a poor analogy. I take what you're trying to say. As long as it's got something to replace the bread, it's still a sandwich.
If it's a piece of lettuce on one,
if it's
bread, chicken, lettuce, is it a sandwich?
If you're using the lettuce to sandwich it, look at that thing KFC are doing with the two.
But it's not chicken. But they're not saying that's a fucking sandwich, surely.
What are they calling it?
That's a double down.
Yeah. But they're using chicken to replace the bread.
But they're not saying it's a chicken sandwich.
I don't know. You brought this down. Sandwich.
It's a fucking ridiculous thing.
You brought sandwich into this.
That's not a mince pie.
I mean, I'm only just going, I don't care. I'm only going what it says on the box. Also, that you bought these mince pies. Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio. It is number 39 of the weekly-ish podcast. We're taking a little bit of a Christmas break, but now we're back and it's boss because we've got loads of stuff to discuss. We've got a kickoff question coming in a moment. We're going to be discussing some funny news, some not so funny news. Obviously, not in that order, but John Flanagan and stuff around Virgil van Dijk. Some rumours about transfer signings. We're going to be discussing the Phil Coutinho situation and looking ahead to the derby a little bit as well. So, Chris, we've got a couple of good questions. If we've got time, we'll get through for some more of them at the end. But the kickoff question from Cy Waters: did you give that ball back to the Burnley?
I didn't have the frigging ball, Paul. I never once had the ball. I thought that I'd made that blindingly obvious.
Clear. So, those of you who missed this, Chris went, well, you didn't go viral per se. You were present to a viral video. You were inside another Redmen viral video where a toothless Burnley fan accused all Scousers of thieves.
Just before we get into that, to paraphrase a friend of mine on Facebook, can we please stop calling videos that get watched on the internet viral videos? Because, listen, it's a video that gets watched on the World Wide Web, so we're surprised when the video gets watched worldwide on the internet. No. We shouldn't be.
Why?
Because that's what it's supposed to do. That's the idea of putting videos on the internet.
But don't Balotelli this. Celebrate when a video goes well. I've gone extraordinarily.
It did go well.
I'm going to have 150,000 views.
169,000.
Wow.
Not that I'm counting. Yeah. You know what's gone better? Tom dropping his Big Mac. 14,500 people have watched him dropping his Big Mac.
I mean, comparatively speaking, that's decent. In fact, we got a question regarding that. Pardon me, I'm eating a mince pie. If you haven't seen that, by the way, go and check out the Redmen TV Twitter, at the Redmen TV. The question was from Don Sophia, who's so... Did Tom end up getting a fresh Mackey's after he dropped his first one on the floor? I got to know. The answer is no. Did Tom eat it off the floor? The answer is, I cannot give you that answer. I will only leave that open to speculation.
I wasn't there, but I've heard it was yes.
Just to give you a little hint on that, Tom was ridiculously hungover and it was New Year's. And it wasn't like it was outside, he dropped it. I'm just going to leave the rest open to
imagine. Well, hang on a minute. This floor has been with us.
And it did start
in multiple studios.
And it did start outside. This is secondhand AstroTurf flooring. So... listen, I'm not gonna.
Before Tom hoovered it, I'm not sure when the last time it got hoovered was. Maybe 2 years ago when we brought it in here.
No, it's been hoovered since then. I think it's been hoovered twice since then. I still don't know the answer as to when it was most recently hoovered. But anyway.
So my favourite part about that entire video was you just sitting there at the end when he's hoovering, eating. Your Mackies. You didn't even, you weren't even looking at
him. I told him to hoover up, that's why. I said, go get the hoover, and he went and got the hoover. He threw a big bag on the studio floor.
That lettuce gets everywhere, trust me.
You cannot, that unchecked aggression cannot go as such.
I'm back to the ball thing, right? So, I don't know, a lot of people don't really understand where that came from, because a lot of people weren't there, basically, mm-hmm. and, you know, everyone saw the ball going onto the stadium roof. That's not the ball that he was questioning. Uh-huh. I think it was maybe first half the ball went into the Liverpool end and didn't come back out, mm-hmm. Whether it was a goal kick or a corner, something like that. I can't remember when it was, right? So it will have been second half, but it was before, maybe it was after our first goal, but before theirs. And the Liverpool fans, I don't know, it got lost in the Liverpool fans is all I'll say. Later on in the game, when they scored in the 18th minute, a ball went into their fan base near our end, whether it was a throw-in or a corner, I can't remember, and that ball never came back out. They robbed that ball.
Right.
Ours disappeared, they robbed it.
Okay.
But the ball that was in the Liverpool end got found and thrown back onto the pitch because Liverpool needed the ball and needed minutes and time to get a winner.
So what we were effectively doing is the Liverpool away fans were saving a ball exactly. for when it was most needed.
Exactly.
Heroes,
and that's what happened. So if anybody robbed the ball during that game, it was the Burnley fans and not the Liverpool fans.
The most pressing question out of all of this, Chris, was who robbed that fella's teeth?
That was me.
Time. You know, young Chris would have robbed him of his teeth via the medium of your fist. But as it was, I thought you were very calm and very, very collected. And he was a massive bellend. If you haven't seen that video, go and check it out on Twitter. Okay, I'm going to move on to the news in brief. Then we're going to start. It's a hard one to get into, but it needs to be discussed. John Flanagan was in court yesterday at the time of recording. He's admitted to assault. He was caught on CCTV just before Christmas on a
Friday the 22nd, 3:20 a.m. Duke Street, Liverpool.
A drunken night out by all accounts, and he's been caught kicking his missus a prolonged, I think, assault. It was described by the judge. Liverpool aren't going to release a statement on this, I think, until sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a few weeks, maybe
that's
until
17th of January, maybe.
Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks at least till we so we get a clear idea of what Liverpool's stance is going to be on this. I think, look, the overwhelming calls are for him to be sacked. I'd done a video on this on HTV yesterday. Just want to get your thoughts on it, Chris.
Yeah, my heart and my head both say sack him because. Listen, I don't know about how Liverpool's contracts work and all that type of stuff, but in businesses that I've worked in, you are liable to be sacked if you bring the business and the brand into disrepute.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that John Flanagan's done.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, it's a different world and it's hard to kind of appreciate it. Like if you work in Tesco's and you get caught robbing something out of Sainsbury's in your Tesco uniform, now you don't have an equipment, it's not like he walks down the street in his Liverpool kit, but he is a Liverpool, you know, his face is the thing that carries it.
Even if it was the other way, let's say, continue with your analogy a little bit, but a guy in a Tesco's uniform beats up somebody and the newspapers will report that his Tesco employee beats up someone because they don't know his name, for example. Yeah. That is bringing the company and the brand into dispute. John Flanagan doesn't need to wear a uniform to do that. Yeah. He's John Flanagan. People know he is, especially in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's a bad knobhead thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, I think the case itself has said, listen, he's a 25-year-old male, he lives at home with his parents, he's never had anything like this in his past. People do make mistakes, and I am totally for giving people a second chance on things, but when it comes to beating up a woman or beating up anybody, it's not really, it's not cool.
Yeah, I know, I think it can...
And he's old enough to know better.
Well, exactly, and that's to say, it's a tough one because we've not seen the context enough should be that he's, you know, he's kicked his missus in public. You know what I mean? That's probably realistically all the context that we need for this stuff. You know, we won't know the full ins and outs, and maybe we never will. But I guess it'll become a bit more clear to light once sentence has happened again. Once we know what Liverpool do, you'd like to hope that it's not, you know, it's not indicative of a bigger problem. Like it's something that he's just had a horrendous bell end, and that's what he is. And maybe he's
done this time he's been caught.
Well, exactly. You know, it would be wrong of us to comment on such a thing. Let's, for his sake, let's just hope it's a it is an isolated thing, and he's able to get his. It's not something that destroys his life, you know. Because yeah, exactly. Because I kind of said, I you know, someone said to me in the comments of mine was about. I said, you know, it might be indicative of a mental illness or whatever. So, well, just punching someone doesn't make you mentally ill. I said, yeah, but if you become, if you're natural, if you've never had a natural, if you drink and fine, and you spend some time, loads of time with people, if you suddenly that becomes your response, that would be it. That would be an indicator of someone who's got a deeper rooted problem in their life, because if you don't normally react to that and that's the way you're starting to react, there might be other issues. Again, if there are, you know, we've met Flano a couple of times. He always seemed like a very nice lad. We'll never know, you know, because you know he's gonna go, hey, all right, lads, good game of Pro Evo. That anyone else kicked or attacked their spouses or wives lately? Oh no, you know, it's not a topic of conversation that comes up. But as I say, he's always seemed like a sound lad, and let's hope he gets any help that he actually needs. I've seen conflicting things about whether it's on Liverpool to sack him when they stood by Luis Suarez, who bit someone and racially abused someone, and Roberto Firmino was caught drink driving. Like, you know what I mean? What's the line? What's the line on legality? What is the is it just because it's more of a social taboo? This kind of stuff.
I don't know. And that's it. And I find these things very difficult to talk about, mainly because I don't like talking about things when I don't know the full ins and outs. Yeah. And without knowing the full ins and outs, I just find that incredibly difficult. But there's certainly a grey area. There's always a grey area in football. We've spoken about this many times. We, as fans, never know the full ins and outs. So we base opinions off half-truths and sometimes fabrications.
It's sad, isn't it, though, that let's just take this... Put John Flanagan out of this and whatever. It is sad that there are people who would back, because someone's a good footballer or whatever. Because this thing, I'm seeing loads of responses going, well, he's shit anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, I do find it sad that people who are, and this is how, like, the, like, and again, this is complete aside from this. Don't draw any direct comparisons in the specific subject matter, but this is how, like, people in the BBC got away with all the kind of stuff that they got away with for years, is because celebrity kind of insulates you against stuff for some reason. Because once you're mega rich and powerful and you've got a total value to something, people are more willing to turn a blind eye and look the other way, because business ends up coming before morals
and
humanity.
This is where I truly believe that it shouldn't be down to the clubs. I think that, you know, if you want to play in the Premier League or in any FA competition, there should be a guide to what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
Now, if you're accused of anything bad, you shouldn't be able to play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be Liverpool's... The owner shouldn't be on Liverpool. There should be someone looking after the league and going, yeah, he's beat his wife, he's drunk drive, that's a no-no for us.
Yeah.
See you later, lads.
Well, it's interesting because
what you're asking for... Sorry, Paul. You're asking is, when the clubs are doing it, they are going to make business decisions for their brand and their football team, whereas what you need really is an overriding.
I've seen people saying that they just stick him on the transfer list, because why should Liverpool have to pay for his indiscretion? Which is an interesting point in that regard. It's like, it's still the same argument. It's still businesses putting business first. But it does make or John Flanagan has to pay the release on his own contract or something like that, you know, something like that. Just an interesting note, actually, our good friend, a friend of the show and former WWE superstar, D'Lo Brown, said it's quite bad. He said, you can tell you American sports clubs would outright release him ASAP.
They would. And listen, they have a lot more of these controversies than football does, and they've got a systemic problem in their ranks at the moment, especially in the NFL, especially with people beating up people. But you're talking 2-year bans, and the clubs released them straight away, and they're not paid any money out of the contracts or anything like that. They do deal with it probably a little bit better than we do, but equally they have a much, much larger scale problem.
Yeah.
And that needs to be rooted out as well, because it's great banning players. What you need to do is get to the crux of the issue,
yeah,
and fix it before it starts.
Look, on a very human level, before we move on to some of the more lighter-hearted stuff, no one likes to see anyone in trouble anyone in a bad way in their lives, and you know, don't want to be seen to be defending someone who's done something like that. But as I say, if that's an isolated thing and he needs to get help, then I hope him and I hope his missus get the right help, whatever that help would be for them. I hope they get it sorted. Moving on then, from one former WWE superstar to one who wasn't. WWF wrestler Virgil has been pretending to be Virgil van Dijk on Twitter in the week of
this. This is just nuts, Paul.
The Van Dijk transfer.
And this isn't an isolated incident. This isn't like Flanagan. This is a guy who's continuing to do this over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's like a joke. It's like a joke worked. And I'll give you an example. It's when you were a kid or one of your kids says something off the cuff or does something off the cuff and you laugh because you kind of, 'cause it's hilarious, and then they basically do the same thing with a slight variation on it ad nauseum until you just want to run out the house screaming because it's not funny anymore. And that's what I feel that if you haven't seen this, at The Real Virgil on Twitter, his bio now says, LFC paid me for 75 mil. I will eat pasta and play some damn football. He's got 36.7k followers, and he's put a picture up that says simply "fam," and it's the $1 million man as yet with Jurgen Klopp's face. It's Andre the Giant with John Henry's, and it's his own face with Virgil
van Dijk's.
Somebody with Virgil van Dijk's face over it.
I mean, you can keep scrolling and keep scrolling and keep scrolling. It's all he tweets about pasta and playing for Liverpool. The man's got a serious pasta problem, to be honest, and a serious problem with impersonating a footballer.
I just wonder whether someone's tried to find Virgil van Dijk and has accidentally tweeted him, and that's what started it all,
yeah. I think it was a few weeks ago now. It could have even been the summer. I mean, I heard of it a long time ago. And I think it was someone just congratulating him or saying, come on, Virgil, when are you going to sign and all this? It was a long time ago.
He's retweeting Anfield HQ tweets. He's
retweeting all kinds of stuff. But people are tweeting him as well. You know, congratulations, mate, and all that. And he's retweeting them and going, can't wait to play for Liverpool and all this type of stuff. It's truly bonkers. And if you've got nothing to do, I do suggest going and having a look at some of those tweets.
So it's interesting. Some of his tweets, you know, bang big time, but I think he's realised that for consistency, tapping into the Liverpool market's a real big win for us. If you don't remember who Virgil is, yeah, he was the borderline racist butler of the million dollar man in the late 80s and early 90s. He had a brief spell as the $1 million champion. It was a great storyline. That's why I love him so much. But past that, no, in fact, even better if you search for it, there is a website dedicated, I think we've done this on a podcast before, to photos of him at signing desks at like wrestling events, as selling himself as a WWE superstar with no one queuing to see him. It's like sad and really hilarious at the same time. I would highly recommend it. But anyway, Chris, we haven't really had a chance to discuss Virgil van Dijk, which is mental.
I know.
But, you know, £75 million, it's done. It's all confirmed. He is a Liverpool player. He's been sitting in the stands looking like a sexy milk tray man at Anfield. Personally, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that Liverpool have gone and done this.
I just think it's such a statement, Paul, and the fact that every manager in the Premier League at some point over the Christmas period has been asked and has been speaking about it. It just shows what Liverpool have done here. And he'll go a long way to fixing a lot of our defensive problems when he's fit, and when I believe also that the fan base will give him a lot of time to get this right,
yeah.
Because I think we all know that it's more than just one player that fixes our defence.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the fact that we've gone and spent £75 million, unfortunately, it's probably a little bit clouded now with the Coutinho news that's going on.
Yeah.
But a week ago, I'd have been banging into that.
Yeah. No,
and I still am.
No, completely. I think the point is whether it's... It is, the shine is 100%, no, not 100%, sorry, I tell you that. The shine is definitely taken off it a bit by the fact that you can't unpick that if we sell Philip Coutinho until we see that Liverpool spend all of that money on other players. You're going to think the only reason we've gone and spent that big on Van Dijk is because it required the sale of Phil Coutinho. It's going to be natural for to have that inkling in the back of your mind. But
the fact is, at some points last season, he was carrying Southampton through games of football from centre-half. You know, that's how good he can be. You know, he's dominating, he's big, he's strong, he heads the ball, he tackles, he can pass the ball, he can run with the ball at his feet. You know, I was talking to you last week about, you know, Dutch players growing up were saying, like, he could have played anywhere on the pitch, but he happened to be 6'4", so we made him our centre-back, and, you know, he's more skillful than some of those Dutch players further up the pitch, and that's what type of a player we've bought there.
Yeah.
And just, it, what does it tell everybody, Paul, around the world? What does it tell them about Liverpool and how much they mean business?
Yeah, because this is the thing, even if it was predicated around us selling Coutinho, to go and reinvest that level of dough into a centre-back, still, again, it's not perfect credit because I would rather just be able
nobody's
to do it all.
Nobody's done it.
Exactly. It's still a world. It's still the world record for the centre-half.
How much did Barcelona receive for Neymar?
What, 190-something, 200?
Did they reinvest and break the transfer record? No.
No.
For a centre-half. Did he need to? Maybe not. But no. That's my point is, loads of people have received lots of money for transfers over the years. Look at Juventus. They didn't spend it. No one's broke it. That's our records.
Yeah. No, it's true. That's the one thing it shouldn't get lost in all of this is that Virgil van Dijk they can't remain because we know we signed him, the top target from the summer. That's exactly what we wanted because they identified him as being the player that they wanted the most. And they've just gone, great, whatever it takes to do it. I love that. I just love that approach because we've seen it before. We've seen it too many times where we've gone, all we really need is 11 good players. And then the rest is just, and we'll just pad it out here and there. Or, oh, we can't really get him. Well, who else is available? Oh, well, you know, we could have ended up with, I get it wrong every time, Michael Keane. You know, he's gone to Everton. Harry Maguire's gone to Leicester. Both absolutely fine centre-halves. Absolutely fine. We've seen particularly Maguire had a really good game against us last week. But if he's the perfect fit for what we do, and as you said there, with all his attributes, he could very well be a boss. It represents a very big step forward, I think, in our mentality.
What was Jürgen Klopp's top... Jürgen Klopp's top priorities during last summer? Robertson was one of them, because we were linked with him all summer.
Yeah, I don't think
there was any other left-backs
really
linked.
Whether it was
really
him or
whether
Mendy would have been at the start of the window, but we decided it was too rich for our blood in that regard.
Robertson, Keita, Van Dijk.
Salah.
Ox, maybe? I don't know.
And I think Ox was always levelled as the icing on top, like the cherry on top. Like, if you get him as well, then you've rounded out a great piece of business.
We've signed all of them.
Business. Yeah.
And I don't think I'm not counting Lamar in those five top because I think the Lamar thing was born out of the Coutinho stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been a top target had we sold Phil Coutinho.
Yeah.
But ultimately, one way or another, we have managed to give Jürgen Klopp exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have them all yet.
Yeah.
But we will do. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing because I couldn't tell you a season where Liverpool have got every top target before.
Exactly, and I think as well, there'll still be that notion of we've left ourselves, because the Keita one, it's great that we've sorted it because he's a great player. If we needed him, we still probably needed someone to play this season, and similarly with the Van Dijk stuff, we've left ourselves with short of a centre-half to get that. But what it boils down to a lot of that is we get a bit churlish over transfers, and it's like, oh, we just want someone. I want someone, someone, someone. And we always overlook the reality of what would that someone be doing now? We've bought a bang average centre-half. We've then got an extra centre-half on the books who we've then got to find a way to get rid of and blah, blah, blah.
I think that's spot on, mate. And I just love the fact that all we've heard since Jürgen Klopp came into this football club is that it's a long-term project. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes pretty shitty to sit through a long-term project. Mm-hmm. We've sat through enough five-year plans now to realise there's hard graft on a day-to-day basis to deal with that. But we are showing signs that it doesn't matter right now. And that's gutting. It really is, because I'd love us to be challenging right now.
Yeah.
But we are getting to where we need to be.
I'm convinced,
and that's the biggest thing.
I'm convinced that if we hadn't, it's all, of course, it is just all hypothetics. Had we been able to secure those two deals as we wanted to in the summer, Van Dijk and Keita, I think we'd be right up there with Man City this season. I think there's very fine margins between us. Now, in terms of the total points tally, you know, it's what, 15 points or whatever we're behind them, it's a lot. it's a lot of points, but there's probably between 6 and 8 points, I think, that we could have conceivably had, we could have taken if we were a little bit more tighter, we had a little bit more power or aggression throughout the spine of the team. Again, no way to ever know. I think we could have been much closer.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I do have a flip side to that. And we went out this morning and we took some time, just me and you, to have a bit of a chat and stuff. And we were talking about the footy and stuff. And I do think that the way that it's panned out could help us in the long term. I don't think it was the plan. It obviously wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
But it could have been detrimental in the first few weeks of the season, having an extra two new players who haven't played together. Whereas because of the way that we had Chan, Wijnaldum and Henderson all playing in those first few games, they all had that understanding, so we didn't have a poor start to the season. And then we've managed to get Oxlade-Chamberlain up to speed before we've had to throw him in. And then, Salah started like a house on fire. That was never going to be an issue.
Yeah.
But then with the problems at right-back, with Nathaniel Clyne's injury, playing alongside, young lads playing alongside people that they know in Dejan Lovren and Joel Matip actually might have helped us.
Maybe, yeah.
So you never know. These things, I'm not going to say they happen for a reason, but they can be looked back on and go, actually, it might have been the right thing for us.
The good thing as well, to some extent, and we'll have to see what happens, and we'll touch briefly on this, but we're going to talk about the Phil Coutinho stuff in a minute, but it depends what if any other business Liverpool do this January for this. But you're going to have to replace Emre Can, you're going to have to replace Phil Coutinho probably this summer, if not before. That's a separate issue, but you'll have money, with the Coutinho.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I think you're going to have money to be able to do that, which is a good thing. But I think you look in terms of what we need, the areas where we need to strengthen the side, it's no longer a need for us to go out and buy. We don't need to go out and buy 7 super top quality players anymore. You could go, you said 5, 2 of them are replacements for existing. Conceivably, you could go out and just spend mega money on a goalkeeper and a left back. And you can pick up another centre half to cover those positions. You can spend the VAT. We don't need to buy a spine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the forward sorted.
Yep.
We'll have the midfield sorted. We've got the centre back sorted. We need to sort the goalkeeper out this summer. You can apportion a larger percentage of your budget. We couldn't have done that this summer just gone, because we need to spend 30, 40 million pounds on a goalkeeper,
yeah,
and probably the same on a left back, potentially. You couldn't have done that in addition to everything else we had to do the summer just gone. But all of a sudden,
you're not that far away.
Exactly.
You're not.
So interesting stuff. Just with regards to the Coutinho stuff. Now, there's been rumours on the grapevine, whispers, Chris, whispers. WhatsApp whispers that Liverpool have made inquiries about 4 players. Those 4 players are.
Dun, dun, dun.
Being talked about on the Reds Transfer Roundup show this week, which you can get in podcast form and in video form on the redmentv.com. Go over there. Chris and I will be joined by Ross. Stee is on paternity leave at the moment, so congratulations, of course, to Stee on the birth of his wonderful little daughter, Jessica. And, of course, to Claire, who's done all the hard work. But yeah, we're going to be taking
not
over
least
that.
Dealing with Steve.
Not least dealing with Steve. But yeah, we're going to be discussing those. One of those is Alexis Sanchez. So there's a little spoiler for you. But come over to that show. We do the Reds transfer roundup every single week throughout the transfer window. It becomes the news roundup show throughout the season. Final word shows, loads and loads of extra podcast content as well. So if you enjoy this, but you like a bit more considered stuff, a bit more group based chat around the Reds, then it's the perfect
stop. And some analytical stuff coming up as well.
Oh yeah, look, we're getting back into the stats and tactics. It's been requested. So Chris Pajak is putting his statistician's hat and possibly coat and slippers back on. Very much a visual gag there. Do perfect time to sign up theredmentv.com. It's free for the first month as well, so you can try it out. Come and check out that show. It's going to be an absolute belter. So many transfer stories to get through. Really excited about that one.
Inquiries, people. Inquiries,
rumours, ins and outs.
Whoa. I'm excited. Can we just do it now instead?
No. Let's talk about the stuff that we don't want to talk about. Phil Coutinho, Chris.
I do want to talk about Phil Coutinho, Paul.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you not had enough of this?
No, not really.
That'll come.
That will come.
It'll come for us all.
No, it's just that it's changed a bit, hasn't it, now? Yeah. I think, you know, the fact that Joyce, Hunter and Bascom all spoke about it last night, all wrote articles now. I got this from you, Paul, but, you know, when you're digging into these transfer rumours and, you know, these articles, the fact that two of these articles went live at 5 p.m. exactly the same time, one went 5:22, I can't remember if it was Hunter or Bascom, was a bit late on it, that says to me that they've been briefed, Paul.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
And they probably were all supposed to go at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, to the minute, 5 p.m. with Joyce and one of the other twos.
Yeah.
That's an interesting little something. Maybe people haven't noticed that, but that to me says briefing.
Yeah, the thing
from
about
somewhere now. I don't know where.
We've seen a lot of stuff, and we see a lot of smoke and fire and stuff around transfer windows. Of course, we do. The thing that stood out most, because obviously we're in the wake of Nike.com, you know, leaking the Phil Coutinho shirt.
Not many days left of that.
No, you've only got until the 6th, even though the link is expired. The problem with that was that we were all scrambling. It's like, it was the equivalent of when the opposition scores a goal and you just have that clenched moment where you're like, has it been ruled out? Has it been ruled out? Has it been ruled offside? And you're like, is it a hack? Are we going to get a statement? The thing that spoke volumes around this, which is why I think we should start preparing for Phil Coutinho leaving, is that Liverpool have said nothing about this. There was a mistranslated report in ESPN Brazil that claimed Liverpool were going to take Nike and Barca to court, which, yeah, again, I believe was mistranslated. There's been nothing on that whatsoever. And Liverpool have been so quick to shut these things down via the medium of the Joyce's and Pierce's, etc., over the summer. You know, how many times did we reiterate very strongly that it wouldn't be sold for any price?
Well, there was something on the website.
Yeah.
Was it Werner?
Absolutely. And the fact that that's not happened this time around.
And that's what Bascom, Joyce and Hunter all say, is that there's been a softening of the stance, I think, it's to paraphrase the three of them. And I agree with that. I think that there clearly has been. Now, I don't agree with Phil Coutinho telling his employers that he's played his last game for the club, and I don't know if that's the truth.
Yeah.
But that's what's being reported, so we'll talk about it from that sense. Now, I disagree with that. I think that's ridiculous. But he has put in some of his best performances since he handed in his transfer request. So we've heard that before. Mm-hmm. You know, the boy who cried wolf, Paul.
Yeah.
It would be very easy for us to still say no, mm-hmm, and still expect him to perform, yeah, because he's got priors, quite, yeah, frankly. But it looks more and more likely that he is going to move on. I'm 50-50 now whether it's going to be the summer or January. Mm-hmm. I was very much summer up until 2 days ago. But I do believe that Liverpool will not sell without getting assurances that we'll be able to buy someone first.
Yeah. Jamie Carragher tweeted about this, as he said, best thing, LFC has agreed a big fee for Coutinho to go in the summer, like we've done with Keita, not now. What's the club gain by doing it now? Top four and Champions League progression seriously risked if they sell in January, and difficult to replace him now. If he goes on strike, he damages himself. And Luis Garcia actually quote retweeted and said he won't be able to play in Champions League either, or Barca use him in that competition. January's not the moment for big moves. All parts lose something on the deal. The problem with anything, there's just no ideal solution for Liverpool, unfortunately, with this one, because you agree something for the summer, you've then got that permanent thing hanging over the head of
if he puts in a bad performance at any point, it's, oh, well, is he just protecting himself ahead of his move? If you keep him and he has a bad game, it's because you've kept an unhappy player. And are you risking squad harmony? Because I think if he's being a bell end again, and there's no, you know, there's no solid reports that he is necessarily, but it's one thing to let it fly in the summer. For someone to go back and do it again after all that, I don't know how easily it is to rebuild those bridges again. And also the most important thing, as mentioned there, you cannot replace Phil Coutinho in January. You can buy other players. Mm-hmm. You can buy good players. I disagree with the Carragher thing in a base sense. I think you can go out and buy players. Some of these inquiries we'll talk about on the Reds transfer roundup, but you're not going to get someone who's going to come in and be as good as Phil Coutinho.
No, it's unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, on the scale of probability, it is possible.
Yeah.
Because Mo Salah's come in and been great. On the scale of probability, the odds are heavily stacked against someone coming in and being able to replicate a 10 to 15, what, I'd say 12 goals and
7 assists. Yeah.
Which is what you'll get from Phil Coutinho.
It's unlikely, but you can do it. But I agree with you. I think it is massively unlikely. There are, listen, we've already mentioned Sanchez. I think he would. I think he could. Whether we'll see it straight away is a completely different thing. You know, he is eligible for the Champions League, which has got to be a big plus in that column. But I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen a lot on Twitter and a lot on Facebook and on all social, really, about, you know, FSG this, FSG that, FSG this. What if it's Klopp? What if the softening of the Sanchez? I don't want him anymore.
Well, we did this in the summer, didn't we? And that was the big... how it convoluted the whole thing, because FSG come out and said we won't sell them at any price, and I was like, great, brilliant, what a ballsy standpoint. And then there was the rumours that
Klopp wanted
him rid, and they're actually going against Klopp's will, and you go, oh fuck, I don't know how to feel about this. The only way I will ever be able to rationalise my feelings on this is what Liverpool do. You know, not now, not like the rumours of what might happen. Because right now, all it is that he's going to be sold. And Liverpool are going to have 130 million, say, in their
plus add-ons.
Yeah, whatever, in their arse pocket. And no Coutinho. Now, we've been in this situation before. Like, we sold Robbie Fowler, but we got Nicholas Anelka in on loan. And you give Nicholas Anelka that number 9 shirt, and you're like, well, Nicholas Anelka's class. I'm gutted Fowler's gone. But wow, Nicholas Anelka.
Mm.
We sold Torres.
Got Suarez.
Now, I know we had Suarez lined up already, and I know we got Carroll, and that was a massive disappointment. But at the time, it felt great, because it was very much like, yeah, we'll sell him.
It was decisive, and he was banging form, and we didn't know how his career was going to end up.
Exactly. No, he was going to be a big lazy mess. It was a proactive move, and you could see sense to it. You go, well, look, we've got rid of Torres, who looked like he was on the way, and we've brought in Luis Suarez and Carroll. Wow, that looked, you know, I wasn't perfectly happy with it, but it sated me.
Mm.
Liverpool, for me, ideally, we just tell him to shut up and tell him to get on with his job, and we go. But what Liverpool absolutely need to do this window is spend that money regardless of whether we've received it or not on replacements for Coutinho. So that Van Dijk stuff cannot be out of the Coutinho money.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go out and buy one or two players to cover that. If he goes in January, it has to be two.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's for the summer, I will accept a Thomas Lamar, because you're looking towards the future.
Just a £90 million
just
football,
a Thomas Lamar. But the point is that, let's just throw a name out there. We'll talk in more depth and detail. If it goes in January, I wouldn't be happy if we just bought Mahrez or Lanzini. I'd be really upset if we just got Lanzini.
Exactly.
But if we bought Mahrez and another, I could possibly rationalise it a little bit better.
Just not Lanzini and Mahrez.
Just not Lanzini. If you bought Lamar plus one of Mahrez or Lanzini, I'd go, great, because you've covered that Coutinho in the attacking mid position, and you've covered him in the left wing position.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably still got loads of money to spare. And that you could probably get a lot of that done
I think that's probably pretty much 130. Paul Mahrez is rumored to be 40. Lamar 90.
Yeah, I suppose. That would be reasonable enough for me. But the thing is, what it boils down to is it hurts because look, we love Phil, don't we? And you don't. He's earned that shirt. I'm not sure that either of those I would be comfortable giving me number 10 shirt to a Riyad Mahrez.
Sanchez and Lamar would be the one that I would be ecstatic with.
Yeah, I think what Liverpool, if it's true about the Arsenal stuff and it's true about Sanchez, Liverpool should go hard all in on trying to get him, whatever it costs, whatever it takes.
I imagine we'll be in. City will be back in that race anyway now. Sanchez.
Absolutely,
but just because of Jesus's injury.
Yeah, maybe. And again, I don't think it's a realistic thing, and I don't want to tread on a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about in the next show. But he, it's the weakening of Arsenal, and for as much as Van Dijk sends a positive message, letting Coutinho go in January sends a terrible message. But it says that. You know, we're happy to make life difficult in the quest for fourth. Whereas if you go and get a Sanchez, you're saying Arsenal are shit. We're a rung above them, and he's good enough to play for Man City because they wanted him. We're gonna go and push on.
I actually still think he's better than Coutinho. I think Coutinho will become a better player, and he'll do more in his career than probably Sanchez has done. And Sanchez has done a lot of good stuff, but right now. Sanchez is a better footballer.
Yeah, I agree. So it's an interesting one. We'll have to see what pans out from there. But yeah, thanks very much. Obviously, people sent the question. Better fact, Ben Kelly, our very own Ben Kelly, will be back with Development Watch soon. He was the one who asked, how would you honestly handle the whole Coutinho situation if you resigned to selling him? Who would you replace him with in an ideal world? If you've got your own answers to that, by all means, tweeting at the Redmen TV. If you're listening to or watching this on the website, then the comment box underneath, you can sign up for Discuss, which is how you become get access to the comments box underneath. You can just log in with your Facebook if that makes it easier for you, but get involved in the conversation. That would be wonderful. Moving on then, Chris. Tom F. TF299978.
It sounds like a Dutton Twitter account. If it was only Tom D and not Tom F.
Headshot. Boom. Should we rotate against Everton not to risk key players so they can go against City full strength? City are weak with key injuries in the games at Anfield. We need full strength and we can win. And that would be a huge statement on the league.
I think I've said all along, and I've said for weeks, I think we should be rotating against Everton. I was a bit disrespectful when we did a show with the Toffee TV lads yesterday, and I mentioned the kids. Now, I don't actually believe that, if I'm perfectly honest, but yeah. Anyway. I think we should rotate. I think we have to rotate. I don't think... Listen, we've rotated for every other game in the Premier League recently, so why not Everton? They're just the Premier League side that we happen to be playing in the Cup.
Is that not the attitude that we took in the league, though?
And that side was good enough to beat Everton?
Maybe, but it wasn't ultimately.
It didn't.
Yeah.
But it was good enough too. It didn't.
Well, we'll never know, will we? Yeah. That's the problem.
I think we can beat them with a rotated side. You know, off the top of my head, it's difficult with the injuries that we've picked up. But you're looking at Roberto Firmino up top. You're looking at Sadio Mane and probably Oxlade-Chamberlain on the wings. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a midfield three of, take your pick, Chan, Milner, Wijnaldum, Lallana. You know, the thing is, they're all rotated. It has to be a rotated side now. Yeah. Because that's all we've got left.
Yeah.
And even if you put your strongest side out, it's possible, it's still rotated last game.
The rotation point in this regard, though, because that's not rotation, because, as you say, with no Salah, no Coutinho, and, you know, and not quite, maybe not quite, I think Mane will have to play. I think with the clock kind of hinted at the whole, he'll be sleeping on the plane back from Africa, that's where he's going to be getting his kip instead of sleeping in a hotel. The rotation would have to be, in this regard, it would be Woodburn. It would be...
No, not for me. That's too much. Rotation is from the last game, Paul.
Yeah.
And the last game, we played Joe Gomez at left-back and Trent Alexander-Arnold at right-back.
Yeah.
Robertson comes in. He might be our first choice, but that's rotation.
Yeah.
That's how rotation works.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
Who started up front the last game? Dom Solanke. Who'd you rotate in? Roberto Firmino.
Yeah.
That's rotation.
Yeah. But the point we're driving at is that, in terms of the severity, because the point is, when he talks about rotation, he's talking about keeping your best players fresh for Man City.
But you'll be doing that because of your rotation you've already done over the last 3 weeks.
But what you're saying is you're starting Roberto Firmino, yeah. Mane, Oxlade-Chamberlain. Are they then starting against Man City as well?
Isn't it like 8 days?
No, it's 9 days. But that's the question. So you're saying, although you're rotating from Burnley, this isn't the rotated side, this is the strong side.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how we end up with that side, strong rotation.
We go strong.
Why wouldn't you?
Because you said you wouldn't want to go strong against Everton.
No, I said you should rotate. I said we can beat them without strength.
Okay.
Rotation is based on the past, not the fucking future. No, there's a game nine days away. We have built our entire last six weeks around rotating the squad.
But the way we've rotated the squad is
means
to go
that we're strong no, in this
it's
game.
To, yeah, exactly. It's to alternate strong and slightly less strong.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because we haven't played the Salah, Mane, Firmino, Coutinho every single week.
No, but we played them Boxing Day. We have played them once or twice during this period. Not every single
week. Yeah, look, we can't play it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Is the Man City game of so much importance that you are better off just going a shade weaker than you would normally? That's what I mean. Because in order to bring players into the rotation, you're gonna have to bring, because Woodburn's on the bench against Burnley. You're gonna have to bring Ben Woodburn into the squad definitely. So you're saying you don't bring him into the first team. The only player
that I would play personally that hasn't been involved in anything so far is Danny Ward.
What about Danny Ings? Solanke's played.
I don't see that Firmino needs 2 weeks off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's what you're doing.
Listen, I've said that I think Liverpool have put the best possible 11 out on the pitch for this game and not worry so much about the future of it because it's not important in the grand scheme because as I say, I think you can go another season without the FA Cup if you really had to. If you told me that we'll finish second, it was the difference between really fighting down to the last day to finish fourth or us finishing second, comfortably second or fighting for second, then I would be tempted to bin the FA Cup. And that sounds really bad because Liverpool definitely need silverware. But I do, because it's Everton, we absolutely have to make sure that we beat them, which is why I want to go full strength. But this is Klopp's conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I agree. Firmino's had the rest, so I would go with him. It's just who you put around that, because this is where we're starting to see the limits. As you said, I don't think Lallana, you're probably keeping Lallana for City, I'd guess. Because he's just played played a lot of the Burnley game for his first game back, so he's probably out in that regard.
But it doesn't. I don't see that it really weakens us. That's my point.
Yes and no.
Because he's not been part of that side.
The point is that your best front three fit and available to you is now Oxlade-Chamberlain, Firmino, and Mane.
Your hands are tied, and here's the thing. This is where you're probably coming from. If all of those were available, I wouldn't play all of them.
Yeah. I would play that. That's the front three I would probably play. That would be a fine front three to play in any game, provided you'd had Salah and Coutinho on the bench. But you haven't got Salah and Coutinho on the bench. You've got Ben Woodburn and, God, it'd be Solanke and Sturridge if Sturridge is available, or Solanke and Ings.
Yeah.
Which means that, again, that's just where we're at.
You know what? It wouldn't even surprise me, Paul, if he played Solanke up front and we saw Bobby out on the left.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting one, certainly. But definitely one I'm looking forward to. And this is a real final test. And I hadn't really given this too much thought because I just wanted us to get through the Burnley thing, and we have done. But because of Coutinho and because of the Salah stuff, this makes it a completely different type test. We've done the build up with Toffee TV, which you can see this week on the YouTube channel. If they park the bus, any team that parks the bus and is very well organised and very well disciplined, you need really good players to break that down. Regardless, so there's every chance. Even if we had Salah and Coutinho, we couldn't get the business done. We couldn't do it against them last time out. So it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be an intense physical struggle as well. The only hope is that we just come out and blitz them early on.
That and the fact that look what happened in their Man United game, mate. They were in the game for the first half and they tired badly and the midfield took over. It was Pogba and Mata in that instance who just took over the game. Yeah. Like, and there is something to be said for setting that up.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. Make sure that they work extremely hard first half. They've come through a lot of games with a squad that's not good enough and hasn't got enough bodies.
Injuries
from McCarthy and the likes of Bolasie and stuff. If they start second half, they're going to be tiring massively. And if you save one person to bring it into that second half...
Who would that be?
Oh,
because that's the tough thing.
That could be your Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Somebody who comes on and tries to grab the game by the scruff of the neck or something.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I am looking forward to seeing. Just quickly before we wrap up, we've got a good question this week from the LFC podcast and couch. Thanks very much, Nish, for this. If you were in the WWE, what would be your stage names, catchphrase, and finishing move?
Well, I'd have to do the Yokozuna finishing move, I feel.
The bonsai drop.
I mean, I've got the arse for it. Let's just start right there and then. Stage name? I'd probably be one of those pseudo... You know those Americans that play Russians? Well, I'd have to be the Polish something or other. Yeah. You know what I mean? That I'd have to be something like that.
I think
you
fit into like the Gold Dust stable quite well.
I'd probably do that. I'd probably enjoy that, actually. Yeah, maybe so. As catchphrase goes, I don't know, man. Eat everything. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you go, it's a good question. I would go down the Uber. What's the word? Like the Uber arrogant route. The people think I'm on already, but I just ramp it up
Mr.
to 11.
The Mr. Perfect, the Valvinus,
exactly. Mr. Perfect and Prime Rock. You know, so it's I've already got it on my Twitter. It's the Mach, not Mach, not Paul.
You've added that to your Twitter.
No, that's what it will. The part I've got the already, haven't I? But that you definitely be going down that. Referring to myself in the third person at all times.
The mate says this.
Exactly. And as far as finishing move goes, I've always been a fan of the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah,
it's just kicking people.
I'm not sure that to be a good move for you. In that
small people are very hard to reach.
That and. He dropped a lot of Stone Cold Stunners, and your knees aren't the best.
I'm not saying I'm getting up after it, exactly. Like you, but then neither are they, Chris. All I've got to do is roll over and pin them. I think I can do that, and then maybe the
adrenaline rush. Don't talk about yourself like that. I think I can do that. The Mach can do that.
The Mach will drop the stunner. The Mach will roll over, pin the motherfucker. The Mach will get the adrenaline rush from the win, and the Mach will take it all the way home.
And the Mach will roll out of the ring to a standing position.
The Mach will roll to casualty. And that's my catchphrase. Fantastic. Brilliant. Thanks, everyone who's listened. Once again, just want to point you in the direction of the RedmenTV.com. Podcasts galore. After every single game, we cover the games in depth and detail. We've got tactical and statistical analysis podcasts returning to your weekly lives. Starting from next week or beyond. But again, loads and loads of brilliant content. If you need more of the Red Men TV and more Liverpool content in your lives, whether it's video or whether it's audio or whether it's written stuff, we have got you covered. Go to the website, theredmentv.com. Free for the first month. Try out all the stuff behind the paywall. And if you like it, it's just £5 a month after that. Magnificent value, I'm sure you agree. Perfect time to start. It pays for this podcast to be free. So if you like the podcast and you want to help to donate towards that, become a Red Men TV supporter. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Paul.
Walk on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.